Welcome to a Finance Basics podcast. This is Larry Schrank, and today we're discussing the time value of money. Like many other issues in finance, the time value of money is an idea that is intuitively understood by many people who have only a passing knowledge of financial theory. Our task is to understand the concept with greater rigor. In fact, the goal of finance is often to make more precise and to quantify are otherwise vague intuitions about how finance operates. I suspect that all of you understand and appreciate that there is a time value of money. If I were to ask any of you whether you would prefer to receive $100 today or $100 one year from now, everyone would prefer the money now. This is the key to the time value of money, namely that present money is always worth more than the same amount coming in the future. But in finance, we need to reflect on why there is any time value to money at all. Why would you prefer money today rather than money a year from now? Let me turn the question around. What do you lose by waiting one year for the payment? We can isolate three specific reasons why money coming in the future is worth less than money in the present. First, in most economies, prices are increasing. That is, most economies have some level of inflation. The basket, that is, combination of goods that a given amount of money will purchase, declines over time. Simply put, $100 today buys more than $100 in a year. This is the first cost. By delaying payment, you lose some amount of compensation. Consumption. Second, there is also what economists call an opportunity cost in waiting for the money. An opportunity cost is what you give up by doing something else. If I stay home to watch television, I cannot go out tonight to see a play at the theater. The case of time value of money is straightforward. If I allow the payment to be delayed for one year, I give up the opportunity to spend that money during that year. This is the second cost. By delaying payment, I incur an opportunity cost. Third, the individual who promised me the money might not be around a year from now, or they might not have the money, or they might not be willing to give me the money. Any of these situations presents what we call a risk. A risk occurs when there is some possibility that what we expect might not happen. There is a risk in this situation because while I expect to receive $100 one year from now, we've just seen three reasons why my expectation may not be fulfilled. We often speak of this compensation for an element of risk as a so-called risk premium. This is a third cost. By delaying payment, I must endure risk. In sum, by agreeing to wait for the money, you incur three costs. One, inflation. You'll be able to buy less with the money. Two, opportunity cost. You'll be unable to spend the money during the next year. And three, risk. You may not receive the money as expected. The time value of money is an aggregation of these three independent costs, and it implies that we should always prefer money now to money later. I want to highlight a difference between the cost of inflation, or the opportunity cost, and the cost of risk. Well, the cost of inflation and opportunity costs can be assumed to be the same for all. The level of inflation, for example, is approximately the same for all individuals. Risk compensation, that is the risk premium, is more complicated. Unlike inflation and opportunity costs, the amount of the risk premium is dependent on the financial standing, credibility, reputation, etc., of the other party or the firm. If a different person or firm were to make exactly the same promise, you would probably expect the same compensation for inflation and the same compensation for opportunity cost. But you may well expect either a greater or lesser compensation depending upon whether more or less risk is involved in that agreement. Because the risk is dependent upon the other party in the contract, not merely on the features of the economy as a whole. In finance, we always begin with a conceptual understanding of a topic, but it is rare that we can ever finish discussing the topic until we've tried to quantify it. We now know there are three components or costs to the time value of money. So let me introduce a way to try to quantify these costs. That is, to ask how much compensation is required for each individual cost. Imagine you have invested in the stock of a firm, and the expected return on that stock is 12%. We know that in aggregate, 12% represents your compensation for inflation, opportunity cost, and risk. But how much of that 12% can be attributed to each of these three costs? The first thing we can do is isolate the risk premium. That is, how much of the 12% is compensation associated with the risk of the investment. As I said, you purchased the stock with the expectation of a return of 12%. But the actual return can either be greater or less than 12%. The risk that the actual return is different from the expected return requires compensation, that is, there is this risk premium. To determine the level of the risk premium with this stock, we can compare the return on this stock, a risky asset, with the return on an asset that has no risk. There is probably no truly risk-free asset, but our best estimate, or we call it a proxy, for a risk-free asset is a federal government security of approximately the same maturity as your planned investment in that stock. If, for example, you intend to hold the stock for 12 months, then you would compare your 12% return on the stock with the annual return on a 3-month treasury bill. Let's say the return on that treasury bill is 5%. Then, of the total 12%, 5%, that is the return on the treasury bill, would be the compensation for inflation plus opportunity cost. And what remained, 12% minus 5% or 7%, is the risk premium. Investors, on average, in that corporation, expect 7% return above a risk-free asset in order to compensate them for the risk of holding the common equity of that firm. We've isolated the risk premium, but the 5% still represents the aggregate of the two remaining costs, inflation and opportunity cost. Several years ago, the U.S. Treasury introduced Treasury Inflation Protective Securities, also known as TIPS. These are securities which have been indexed against inflation. This means that anyone holding TIPS will only require compensation for their opportunity costs. If the TIPS corresponding to our 3-month treasury bill has a return of 2%, then we can estimate that the 2% is the appropriate compensation for opportunity costs, while the remaining is compensation for inflation, that is 5 minus 2% or 3%. So of the 12% that you expect as a return on your investment, 7% compensates you for firm risk, 3% compensates you for inflation, and 2% compensates you for opportunity cost. So in this podcast, we've not only analyzed the time value of money into three distinct component costs, namely inflation, opportunity cost, and risk, but we've also found a way to quantify the amount of those costs by comparing three securities, common equity, treasury bills, and TIPS, so that we can use the differences between them, or spreads, to estimate the compensation that is required for each of the three costs associated with the time value of money. I hope you have enjoyed my Finance Basics podcast.